Our hearts are burning with intense desires generated by your beautiful smiling glances. O jewel among men, please make us your maidservants. Please repeat. Therefore, O vanquisher of all distress, please show us mercy. To approach your lotus feet, we abandon our families and homes, and we have no desire other than to serve you. Our hearts are burning with intense desires, generated by your beautiful smiling glances. O jewel among men, please make us your maidservants. Purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. When Sri Krishna was born, the sage Garga predicted that he would manifest all the opulences of the Supreme Lord Narayan. The gopis now appealed to the Lord to fulfill this prediction by being merciful and granting them direct service. Just as Lord Narayan awards direct service to his loving devotees. The gopis emphasize that they did not give up their families and homes with the hope of securing a higher pleasure from Krishna. They are simply begging for service, revealing their pure-hearted devotion. The gopis think, if in the course of your pursuing your happiness, we somehow or other become happy by seeing your face, what is the harm in that? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on the words Purusha Bhushana, O jewel among men. The Thakur states that the gopis meant to say, O jewel of all males, please decorate our golden bodies with the dark blue gems of your limbs. Om Jnanatimirandasya Gnanjana Savakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Tadamahiyam Dadati Sa Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Cha Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyaischa Kripa Sindhu Vyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I thought it was so interesting in yesterday's class to hear that in Chaupati, the devotees are reading in just about the same part of the Bhagavatam, and yet they're just reading through the chapter because it's like so out of our reach. So we're taking it verse by verse, and every speaker has expressed their disqualification. So I'm in the same group, maybe more so I'm feeling, but I actually this morning remembered a prayer that gave me a little courage. You remember in the purport, we read that the gopis are appealing to the Lord to fulfill Gargamuni's prediction by being merciful and granting them direct service. So we know that this is the goal. We may be babies just learning to walk on the path of prema bhakti. We've heard about it. That's a beginning. But I remembered it's from an offering that Srila Prabhupada made to his spiritual master on the appearance day of his spiritual master in February of 1936. Very long, very beautiful homage. But the very end of it is the part that I remembered this morning. And Prabhupada has been saying, gentlemen, had Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati not appeared before us to deliver us from the thraldom of this gross worldly illusion, we would have remained for lives and ages in the darkness of helpless captivity. If he had not appeared before us, we would not have been able to understand the eternal truth of the sublime teaching of Lord Chaitanya. Had he not appeared before us, we could not have been able to know the significance of the first shloka of the Brahma Samhita, which he then quotes, and you can chant with me. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govindam Sarva Karana Karanam. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the Supreme Godhead. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, and he is the prime cause of all causes. And then Srila Prabhupada ends with this prayer. Personally, I have no hope for any direct service for the coming crores of births of the sojourn of my life. But I am confident that someday or other I shall be delivered from this mire of delusion in which I am at present so deeply sunk. Therefore, let me with all my earnestness pray at the lotus feet of my divine master to allow me to suffer the lot for which I am destined due to my past misdoings, but to let me have this power of recollection that I am nothing but a tiny servant of the Almighty Absolute Godhead, realized through the unflinching mercy of my divine master. Let me therefore bow down at his lotus feet with all the humility at my command. So, what I thought of when I was reading how the gopis expressed that their happiness came by fulfilling Krishna's pleasure, by trying to make him happy. As a byproduct, they themselves became happy. And so I thought to come to a book with which I'm more closely aligned than these chapter of the 10th canto. I looked at Bhagavad Gita and looked up happiness. So one of the references that I found was a very long purport in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and it's to the verse, Rajavidya Rajaguyam, this knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting, and it is joyfully performed. So there's many points in this verse, this verse's purport, but a couple of the ones that I thought were especially relevant to us in our stage and to our understanding of what constitutes happiness. Here's one paragraph out of the purport to this 9.2 from Bhagavad Gita. And this is Prabhupada's purport, of course. It is said that the execution of devotional service is so perfect that one can perceive the results directly. This direct result is actually perceived, and we have practical experience that any person who is chanting the holy names of Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, in course of chanting without offenses, feels some transcendental pleasure and very quickly becomes purified of all material contamination. This is actually seen. Furthermore, if one engages not only in hearing, but in trying to broadcast the message of devotional activities as well, or if he engages himself in helping the missionary activities of Krishna consciousness, he gradually feels spiritual progress. This advancement in spiritual life does not depend on any kind of previous education or qualification. The method itself is so pure that by simply engaging in it, one becomes pure. So I was thinking how appropriate that is to this, like yesterday's class that Govinda Mohini Prabhu gave, that was just Sankirtan story after Sankirtan story after Sankirtan story, and then the comments were also more wonderful descriptions of little miracles that happen every day. And of course, we have a few others in the community that also have regularly these fresh stories. But even as Mukhya Prabhu was saying every day in the announcements, Harinam is coming up, this opportunity to go out and give the holy name to the conditioned souls. And even if you can't go and distribute books yourself, by giving some Lakshmi, then the temple can buy the books and take them out and not have to worry too much how much they get for each one. The books are given. So Prabhupada's saying it right here. If one engages himself in helping the missionary activities of Krishna consciousness, he gradually feels spiritual progress. So then a little later on in that same purport, there's another paragraph specifically on the words susukam, that this knowledge is joyfully performed. So Prabhupada says, the process of devotional service is a very happy one, susukam. Why? Devotional service consists of shravanam, kirtanam, vishnam. So one can simply hear the chanting of the glories of the Lord, or can attend philosophical lectures on transcendental knowledge given by authorized acharyas. Simply by sitting, one can learn. Then one can eat the remnants of food offered to God, nice palatable dishes. In every state, devotional service is joyful. One can execute devotional service even in the most poverty-stricken condition. The Lord says, patrang pushpam palam toyam. He is ready to accept from the devotee any kind of offering, never mind what, even a leaf, a flower, a bit of fruit, or a little water, which are all available in every part of the world, can be offered by any person, regardless of social position, and will be accepted if offered with love. There are many instances in history. Simply by tasting the tulsi leaves offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, great sages like Sanat Kumar became great devotees. Therefore, the devotional process is very nice, and it can be executed in a happy mood. God accepts only the love with which things are offered to him. So even though we may understand, and we certainly should understand, that direct service to Krishna in Vrindavan is a far distant goal for us, we should be very encouraged and very happy to remember that simply by hearing, simply by chanting, simply by helping the devotees who are distributing books, or by trying to distribute the books or the holy names ourselves, and simply by taking prasadam, the remnants of food, or cooking for Krishna, so for his pleasure, then just as the gopis were expressing, we're trying to make you happy, and in the process we ourselves have become happy. So I think that's true of all of us. We've heard about the glories of devotional service, about Krishna's holy name, and we're trying our best to follow all the instructions and come nearer and nearer. I think somebody was just making the point in a recent class that, or maybe it was the Sunday remembrances of Srila Prabhupada videos, that Prabhupada stressed, if the goal in your heart is pure devotional service, even you may be quite, any of us may be quite covered by the modes of material nature, or previous bad habits, or so many unwanted things, but if we understand and we're working towards, I want to give, pure selfless love and my whole heart to Krishna just for his pleasure. That is pure devotional service, but it's like an unripe mango. When it's ripe, the mango will be very juicy and sweet, but when it's green, it's sour. Of course, when it's green, it still makes very good pickle, so I'm sure Krishna can find something to do with all of us, even in our present state. And the Lord can engage people. It's not a problem for him because matter and spirit are, there's no distinction for him. From his standpoint, he's absolute. Both matter and spirit are coming from him. So if he sees some devotee who is a pure spirit soul, encased within a body and mind and senses that seem to be so much connected in ways with the material energy and the material world, it's not a problem for him. He can engage us in devotional service and bring us closer and closer and closer to him. So it's reciprocal. Another verse that I thought of in connection with this whole section is, the gopis, they have the most exalted love for Krishna, and that's why Krishna at certain times says, I'm not even able to reciprocate with you. He promises in Bhagavad Gita, yaya tamam prapadyante, tams tataivam bhajamyaham, as they surrender unto me, I will reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects. So it's every step that we make towards Krishna, he is also encouraging, pulling us forward, sometimes putting great difficulties in our path to see how sincere we are for testing. Even the Pandavas were put to the test. So many exalted devotees that were certainly pure lovers of God. It's not that they don't also have to undergo difficulties, but he wants to glorify the devotees by showing how even in adverse situations, they'll turn to him, and we can also turn to him even when situations are reversed. So those were some of the points that I thought of, and because we have such an exalted group, I thought I'd open it up for discussion. If there's any questions or comments especially, that would be welcome. Yes, Maharaj. Is there a microphone? Okay, but there's people listening on the internet and Oh, great, fantastic.
Well, the only thing I wanted to suggest or add was that we hear at the end of Chaitanya Charitamrita in the Shikshastaka section, how the proof of the fact that the gopis were not in any way tainting their purity and pure desire to please Krishna, that they, you might say, well, they're just kind of like taking on the sly a little happiness when they see Krishna smile, that they do. They say, well, there's no harm in that. Did we hear that in the actual purport, or was that a commentator?
No, it was in the. It was, I believe, quoting Vishwanath Chakravarti.
It was in the purport, that at the in that section of the Shikshastaka prayers, we hear that even if I'm not happy, and somehow or another my unhappiness makes Krishna happy.
Right.
Then that becomes my greatest happiness.
Right, that's Radharani.
So it's kind of, it's unconditional.
Right.
There's even that, if some other woman, Krishna wants to be with her, or some other gopi, I'll fall at her lotus feet and beg her to go and satisfy Krishna, make him happy. And that's quite a thing for a lady to say.
Right. Thank you. That's a very extreme example of the devotees, the gopis' pure love. Thank you so much. to be comfortable.
It's not directly connected to your class, but it's a quick little comment. Like, sometimes there's some speakers, they would not entertain questions or comments. And I think that the whole Bhagavatam is question and answers, the whole Bhagavatam, you know. And only if we think we're absolutely perfect, then we can take that stand. Otherwise, if we don't want to answer question, at least we should open ourselves for comments.
Thank you. And Stita D has a real comment.
Well, I can make
another comment
that has absolutely nothing to do with the class too, since I got on Sunday.
Go for it.
But I was thinking about this morning, based on what Chivakram was saying. I mean, Prabhupada said Krishna consciousness is a science. And, you know, in academia and in science especially, they have conferences and, you know, people present their research and their papers before the body of sciences, and then they get feedback.
Right.
You know, to see, like, you know, and when they publish, same thing, they get peer review. So I guess part of perhaps the exercise is, you know, devotees are doing their scientific research,
mm-hmm.
spiritual life, and then they present mm-hmm. it for, you know, the feedback, and that's part of the process.
Right, and I think there's two statements I always used to hear that came from Srila Prabhupada. I heard they came from Srila Prabhupada, is that we should discuss his purports threadbare. And another is that we should understand the subject matter from many different angles of vision. Have other devotees heard those things? So that means Bhagavatam class should be very involving, and everyone should be. I was thinking actually this morning of St. Francis in the Christian tradition. He had a band of followers that traveled together. They were known as brother, this one brother, that one, and it's not like I've studied it extensively, but I remember hearing that one of them was very practically illiterate, and some were very scholarly, but each one was valued as much as all the others. And the one who was practically illiterate, he had a very the common man's take on things, which often, you know, in a simple phrase, will really get to the heart of a matter. And so it's like by their sincerity, they were celibate monks, you know, traveling just depending on charity. So each one was respected, and whatever he had to contribute to the understanding was appreciated by all. So same move.
This might have something to do with something.
I'm sure it will, Lish Karpovich.
But Shudakirti or somebody had all his pictures of Prabhupada up on Facebook. So yesterday I saw some two or three pictures or more of Prabhupada in L.A. And especially the L.A. ones, but he's looking down on these kids. You know, they had this little co-op in the old days, in the 70s, where they sold stuff across from the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looking down at these two-year-old kids, and they're just looking up, and you could just see Prabhupada like totally communicating with these kids, you
right.
know, it's like so ecstatic, just those pictures are so ecstatic to see him, and the kids are just so absorbed, and Prabhupada's looking at them with such, you know, kindness,
right.
It's incredible, and you know, he's totally communicating,
right.
You know,
I remember
amazing.
When he came to Honolulu, and one time I went over to see him, a friend of mine had a young son, maybe 3-4 years old, who was in his mother's arms. And I looked over at one point, and this kid is like this to Srila Prabhupada. Like he's practically jumping out of his mother's arms, and Prabhupada was looking at him. So, yeah, those relationships go way beyond, you know, we get so stuck thinking our intellectual understanding is the all in all, and it so isn't.
Just to see those pictures is like, you know, amazing.
I'll look
Prabhupada's looking at them like this, so, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And they're looking.
Any of the ladies?
You can't even see their faces, too. You just see them from behind. And just the way their gesture, their body language. And it's just like,
yeah, focused and absorbed. Any comments over here? Madhumati?
That's why I was making. Wait.
Somebody's listening somewhere.
Talking as far as Srila Karma Prabhu's comment, I think it's important, everybody should be respected for the comment and questions that has been brought up during class, but I think it's important that the comment or question is proper.
Oh,
I remember hearing Radha Govinda Maharaj one time giving class, and he was saying that, he says sometimes he does not like to take questions because the people, they put their hands like a trishul, basically saying, making a challenge.
Right, right.
So,
right.
So I think it's important that the
right.
comments or questions is in the proper mood, and the comments are according to the person speaking, because sometimes the comments are made in such a way that whatever the speaker has said, it's like it almost nullifies whatever,
right.
the, you know, so there has to be some qualification as far as the comments and questions.
That's a good point.
Thank That's you. My comment.
Yeah, actually when Dravida Prabhu was here and he made his presentation one evening about the different changes, so-called, yeah, changes to the books, he made so clearly the understanding come through, at least for me, that the books are becoming closer and closer to what Srila Prabhupada actually said, because they're looking at the tape, the transcribed dictation when and explaining that people did. So anyway, there were some questions that came at the end, but they weren't necessarily in that mood. So I said to one of the ladies afterwards, I said, when you made that point, it sounded more like a challenge than a question. And she said, well, yes, it was a challenge. And I said, well, I remember reading that a challenging attitude doesn't help. And she actually agreed with that because she does, you know, understand that much.
Particularly, there's a tape where Prabhupada says, I'm not taking questions because you always bring something that has nothing to do with the class. Like by 1970 or so, 71, Prabhupada, in the West especially, there was a big pandal with Indians, but in the West, or even a pandal with Indians in the West, or, you know, but with the regular devotees, he didn't take questions after 70, 71, because he said, you always bring things that have nothing to do with the class.
Mm.
So you can hear the tapes, there's hardly
mm-hmm.
no questions
mm-hmm.
after 70, 71 in a regular class setting.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said, you always bring something that has nothing to do with it. He wanted them to keep to the topic, and he just...
But when the earlier tapes where there are questions,
yeah.
that's such an amazing part. I really relish. There was one, actually, I've mentioned it here before, I think, when maybe 68 in L.A., some girl raised her hand, Prabhupada, can you tell us something about Krishna's Ras Leela? And there's this silence, and then he says, Krishna's Ras Leela is not for public meeting. And he goes on and describes how Lord Chaitanya, he was only discussing with three people, basically. And but then he starts describing it in such a simple and such a sweet way. He said there were so many gopis, and Krishna bifurcated himself to dance with each and every gopi. And he says that something about Krishna was the foster child. Is it foster child? You know, he's just like understanding in this country. Just the sweetest. It's like a 5-minute answer. And totally sweet. So I kind of missed that there weren't questions later on, even silly questions he answered so beautifully.
Exceptions like
that. Oh, you want to talk?
There's one right here.
This is pretty well known. Most of you probably are aware of this, but it's right on this topic. It was 434. In the purport to 434, Srila Prabhupada kind of confirms, or we're trying to confirm maybe what Prabhupada said in the first place, wrote in the purport, that how to ask questions. I ran into the original Madhusudana Das. And he said he remembered me from when I was kind of like spaced out, to put it mildly, in the early days. And And I said, how was I? And he told me, well, you used to ask challenging questions to Srila Prabhupada. But as we are trying to point out collectively here, there is a qualification. It's a very important point that Mataji brought up here. That it says that both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Right. Not only one should hear submissively from the spiritual master, but one must also get a clear understanding from him in submission and service and inquiries. In other words, that's the famous pariprashnina sevaya. In other words, submission and service and also inquiries. It's like Arjuna, he certainly asked questions to Krishna. And I often point this out, that Arjuna wasn't satisfied with Krishna's first answer, at least in two instances.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't just, you know, just acquiesce, because of course it was urgent. So he asked again, but it was never a question of challenging.
Right.
I think it is important. I mean, that we'll have much more productive classes in morning or any other classes if the questions are just as carefully thought out as the presentation by mm-hmm. the speaker.
Mm-hmm.
Just like it says, Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikit, they were both actually on equal level. One took the position of guru, the other the disciple. And
mm-hmm.
and Prabhupada also says the audience has to be qualified. We all have to be qualified. It's someone pointed out that it's a continuation of the Sri Guru Parampara.
Mm-hmm.
We have the verse, we have Bhaktivedanta purport, and then what we say, I'm not saying it all gets, you know, recorded and written down, but mm-hmm. what we say in one sense is a continuation of the parampara. It has to actually come to that level, is my suggestion. Thank you.
Right, that's nice. And Stitadi Muni Prabhu has another comment or question.
I didn't want to challenge it. It's interesting how Prabhupada wrote, you know, a blind following and absurd inquiries.
Right.
You know, it's like Prabhupada really had a way with expressing his thoughts.
There was one time in the very early days when Srila Prabhupada got a telephone, and he was thinking, it was very early, probably before he even went to California. And so he got this telephone. It was quite a bit of trouble to get it in New York in 1966 when they had practically no money. But then finally it came. And then one night at about midnight, the phone rang. Srila Prabhupada answered the phone. And one of these followers that was, you know, just a peripheral follower but somehow had gotten the number, called Srila Prabhupada up at midnight. How are you doing, Swami? Swamiji, you are calling at this time to ask such a question. And after that, he told the devotees, take out this telephone. So those were absurd inquiry, how are you doing? Yes.
One time, yeah, Prabhupada said, it was after the lecture, and the devotee said, just out of the blue, what is Balaram's relationship with Radharani?
Oh, Hare Krishna.
And then not only was he, you could tell he was perturbed, you know, but he said, what are these questions? He said, you can't make me a dictionary.
Ah, interesting. And of course, later on, after Pushkar Prabhu said around 1970, something like, it's like all the answers were already there. There were so many books. Even if it wasn't all the books, the essential philosophy was given. We had, you know, some volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Nectar Devotion, teachings of Lord Chaitanya. It's like condensed so much. Anything else? Okay, thank you so much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.